Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Frank Talk 104.3 FM, where if you want to go online and check out at www.faithfreedoms.com, check out my name, davidallencarmichael.com.net.org. Either way, you're going to get to our website. And we're going to see if we're going to take this call. Caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment? Hey, didn't work. Okay, guys, don't call today, would you? We're going to try to work this out on the next break and find out what the problem is technically, why the phone line isn't connecting. And this was working great up until we tested all this out on our pre-show. I had a little opportunity to exercise some things. In fact, I think that's probably what I need to do. I probably need to just go ahead and exercise the phone, if you know what I mean. Okay, Stan Treliving from the American Foundation. Just before we took a break, we talked about basically how things are changing. And there's one of the things you said on the break you wanted to talk about before we go on to the next issue. And it had to do with this chart that you had with relationships between 1950 and 2005 with people. I guess 4% of the families had a two-person workforce, and now it's up above 70%. If that's even two parents in the house. So there was one other statistic that you wanted to talk about. It was illegitimate children. So tell us about that.
In 1950, and again, this was about the time I first came over here from England. It was about a little over 4% of illegitimate children that were born in the country. And then in 1970, there was still only about 8%. And then, of course, you remember in 1973, we had Roe v. Wade. And then, surprisingly, we had, even though there was the abortion for any reason at any time issue was settled with Roe v. Wade, then we come up to 15% in 1990. And then we come to 2005 and we're up to 40%. And of course, today we're over 50% illegitimate children. So with these statistics, and there's a score of others, we see our country deconstructing. And a little later on, as I get into talking about my time over in England before I came here, we'll talk about Christian deconstruction. All of these statistics are going the wrong way. There is one entity whose sole purpose is to teach people moral right. Total purpose is to teach them virtue. And that one group of people is called the church, the Christian church. And they are on the same 45 degrees, but coming down, while all of the others are on a 45 degree going up. So we're in a very bad state.
Well, I'm sorry about this phone situation, but hey, sometimes this kind of crazy things happen. So one of the things that you're alluding to there is that there's a group of, and it's not just the church. You mentioned something to me about pastors. You've got a particular perception that the pastors are basically outside the ring and almost like they ought to be the ones in the ring, but they're the ones who are not even spectators. They're not even coming to the fight, it seems, even if they've got free tickets. So tell me what your perspective is on the American pastors and what their role should be in our situation of our day.
Well, it's easy to judge. And from my position, I'm not a pastor, although I'm involved in Christian work. And I know of a few pastors who understand these issues, but I don't know many. I've talked to quite a few. I don't know anybody that's jumped on board as a result of my speaking the issues to them. But the pastors themselves, it appears to me that back in 1953, when Lyndon Johnson almost was defeated for re-election because of a couple of Christian pastors who were on the air constantly talking about him being the wrong kind of guy in that position. When he got back into the Senate, he called the Senate together for a total reconstruction of the income tax, the whole tax law. And part of that was the part of the reconstruction was a 501c3 issue, which intimidating indicated that if pastors actually talk to their flock about supporting this person or that person, that their tax exempt status would be taken away. Now, later governments have not gone along with that, and the courts have not gone along with that. I believe there's only one or two of those court cases come to fruition, and nobody has been penalized as a result of it. But it seems like the pastors at that time have always, all of them, started pulling out of any involvement they had in instructing their not necessarily instructing, but indicating who they supported as pastors.
Well, I want to say something about that. One of the things that we do, we make an error, and this is folks who have read the Bible and they read Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 and things about submitting to authority. In America, the law, and we got to remind people of this here on Liberty Works Radio Network and Frank Talk 104 and my show, is in America, the law is king. Now, a statute or a code in the U.S. code isn't necessarily king because it isn't necessarily law. If something that the government enacts that ultimately violates that higher law, revealed law that comes from God, then it isn't law. It can't be law. And the trouble is what we do is we try to cross every T and dot every I. And I've read 501C and a 501, the whole section of the IRS or the United States Code, 26 USC 501, I've read it. And so what happens, it's got a whole bunch of T's to cross, a whole bunch of I's to dot. Now, and once you see an ordinance to obey, most people jump on it and say, oh, look at all these great ordinances. We can obey this forever. In fact, we could probably staff the entire staff working on how to obey all these T's and I's. But if they would continue to read at 508, but you have to skip 501 to get to 508, it says that churches are accepted from the 501 requirements. Not exempt. They didn't exempt you. You are accepted because it doesn't apply to you if you're really a church. So, and that's something, and I'm not trying to be a tax protester. I'm talking about reality. And what's happening, we've been distracted. And I think you brought up the 501c3. That's really, and it's a fear thing that people are not operating in faith and actually proclaiming the word of God. They're pragmatically calculating what they're going to say based upon their fears. That's my perspective.
Well, there's two things that resulted from this. Number one, the whole tax code was restructured. And if you want to think that Mr. Obama is a whiz on doing stuff like this, Mr. Lyndon Johnson was Senator Lyndon Johnson was really a whiz. He got the whole tax code restructured, I think in 1954, and it was restructured without anybody putting their name on it. It was a voice vote in the Senate. Now that's really.
And I'll just tell you, it was a voice vote. I watched on C-SPAN. They recorded on YouTube where they had a voice vote. And so they said, no, don't do a voice vote. Yeah, we're going to have a voice vote. How many people for this? And you heard a couple of squeaks. Yay. And then how many opposed? And then it was like 100 voices and said motion carried on the yays. There were like 3 to 5 people saying yes. And 100 people saying no, but it was voice vote. There's no it was on the discretion, the perception of the chairman. That is really completely satanic.
Well, that's correct. And one of the other things is, as you look today at, I don't know what they teach these men in seminaries, but today laymen like myself have only got one perception, and that is, you either obey God or you obey the government. And so by being by pastors refraining from even being citizens. As a citizen, the pastor has every right to say, as a private individual, this is whom I am voting for. And I'm voting for this man because he's a moral man. He stands for these issues that I believe in that are biblical. And therefore, I am voting for him tomorrow. I haven't heard but one pastor say that. So my conclusion is that they have more fear of the government than they have of God.
Yeah, and one of the other problems I see in the church, sometimes people have come to me and have wanted me to endorse a candidate. And I told them that's not something I'm going to do particularly. I will expose some of the things they say and believe, and I'll do that on the air quite readily. But I personally, I don't know of a man that I would stake my reputation on. And those who I would really, that I really admire, I wouldn't ruin their reputation with my association. I mean, so I, you know, because I value them too much. So, but one of the things I've noticed that if I wasn't per se, let's give an example, last election, the vast majority of people in my church, I'm guessing are probably Republican and probably voted for John McCain. Now, if I went and said, okay, I'd like to analyze John McCain and see why he should even be there, or Mr. Obama or Hillary Clinton or whoever it was, if it was their favorite guy because that's their favorite association, sometimes I see people in the church abandoning Jesus and clinging to a particular party, even to the exclusion of fellowship to other believers, because they're not willing to sell their soul, so to speak, for that to promote a candidate.
Well, you see, now we're coming back to what's really wrong with our country.
Okay, what is it?
We're saying, what should our heading be?
Okay.
And so we say, like Glenn Beck the other day, he said, democracy is failing. He says the United States and other great nations around the world are on the brink of financial collapse. Well, and with all of these issues that divide America, every last one of them are moral. A law, any law, is somebody's value is placed into law, which are moral. It's somebody else's morality that's determining that you do or you don't do this, that, or the other.
That's a fact.
In fact, what John Adams said, our second president, he explained that after the Constitution was signed, and he said, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality or religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through the net. Our Constitution, he went on to say, is only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Listen to that now.
Okay.
Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So you see, when we look back and we see what we're seeing now is the result of ignoring history. And Edmund Burke, one of the greatest, one of my favorites in the 18th century, a great man of words, he said, "What is liberty without wisdom and without virtue? It is the greatest of all possible evils, for it's folly, vice, and madness without restraint. Men are qualified for civil liberties in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their own appetites."
Folks, isn't that something? A little self-control, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Moral chains on their intemperate minds, isn't that true? Folks, we're going to come back. We're going to hear more from Stan Treliving. We're going to see something a little bit more about Edmund Burke and some of the history that Stan observed in England at the end of World War II. Stay tuned, Frank Talk 104.3 FM. We'll be back.